thought when I left Lighthouse Baptist Church, me and my wife, I was the deacon of that church. My wife taught the school of that church. We taught Sunday school. We were active within the church. But God changed in our life. I can't tell you. But all I know is within my heart and within my wife's heart, there was a desire to go somewhere else. There was no animosity. There was no circumstances that changed. But there was something in my heart that God changed. And so it won't always be that which is evil. But God will change the circumstances that change your heart. He puts it in your heart, He changes the circumstances. But Jacob, I'll tell you all, he also leads through His Word. By the way, those other, at least the first one in your heart, will line up with the Word of God. It won't be contradictory. And so you need to seek the Lord, and I need to seek the Lord in His Word. Jacob was spoken to by God and directed. Here I want you to look in a dream he talks about, verse number 10. And it came to pass that the cattle... Let's verse number 9. Thus God hath taken away the cattle of your father and given them to me. And it came to pass at the time that the cattle conceived that I lifted up mine eyes and saw in a dream. And behold, the rams which leaped upon the cattle were ring-streaked, speckled, gristled. And the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob... And I said, Here am I. And he said, Lift up now thine eyes and see all the rams which leap upon the cattle and ring straight, speckled, and bristled. For I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. And then he goes on to say, I am the God of Bethel. What was God doing? Speaking to him. God was speaking to him directly. That was how God dealt in the Old Testament. He dealt with people through dreams, but not in the New Testament. Hebrews chapter number 1, you'll see how he deals with it. God speaks to us through His Word, by His Spirit, and like I said, through circumstance, things in our heart, but doesn't speak through dreams. But God has spoken to Jacob, and God will speak through His Word. When you have a devotional life, you don't have to go search out His direction. When you begin to have a devotional life and read the Word of God, God will speak to you in your heart from His Word. I can tell you by experience that God leads. And the God we need to know is a God that leads. You may be saved, but do you know the Lord in such a personal way where you could say, I know the Lord is leading at this very moment? Do you know that? Do you see it? It'll put a testimony in your heart to share with other people if you know the God of the Bible. Let me give you say the second thing, not only... The God of Bethel is the one who leads, but also the God of Bethel is the one who blesses. He's the one who blesses us. Look at what verse number 5. And he said unto them, I see your father's countenance, that is not toward me as before, but the God of your father hath been with me. Verse number 9, we read it again. Thus God hath taken away the cattle of your father and hath given them to me. And then verse number 16. For all the riches which God has taken from our father. Now this is Rachel and Leah speaking. What had happened is he heard what the brothers were saying, and so instead of going back to where they were all kind of dwelling, he calls Leah and he calls Rachel out to the field and says, look, it's not looking good. Your daddy hates me, your brothers hate me, and it's not looking good for me. I think we need to leave this place. God showed me and God's told me. Of course, Rachel and Leah said, look, we've been sold as slaves. There should be an inheritance for us. Sound like most of us, don't they? And they said, this is what they said in that 16th verse. For all the riches which God has taken from our fathers, that is ours. All the wealth that was Laban's, God took and gave to Jacob. You see, all these things, he was working, and I want you to look at the testimony that Jacob gives there in verse number 38. This is him talking, Jacob's talking to Laban. Jacob takes off, he gets a three-day head start with all his children, all his cattle, all his wealth. And so he leaves without saying goodbye. And old Laban hears about it, and 3 days later he chases him. And so he catches him there in Mount Gilead. And then he says here, they're having this conversation, verse number 38, and he accuses Jacob of stealing his idols. Rachel stole them. But he chooses Jacob, stealing idols. And Jacob, he's hot. He's watching his father-in-law go around through all his family's tent and looking for his idols. And he knew he didn't steal them. He doesn't trust his brother, father-in-law Laban at all. I don't blame him. And so he's angry. And it's welling up inside him. Verse number 38, he begins to speak. This 20 years have I been with thee. These little lambs, the she-goats, have not cast their young, and the rams of thy flock have I not eaten. He had to pay for his own lunch. Verse 39, that which was torn of beast I brought unto not unto thee. I bear the loss of it. Of my hands didst thou require it, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. Thus I was in the day, the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep departed from mine eyes. Thus have I been 20 years in thy house. I served thee 14 years for thy two daughters, 6 years for thy cattle, and thou hast changed my wages 10 times. He had enough. And he's frustrated. Verse 42, except the God of my father, the God of Abraham, the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely thou hast sent me away now into God has seen mine affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked thee yesternight. And so Jacob bents it out. You know what he's saying? He's saying, when a beast tore that sheep or that lamb, whatever it was, you know what I had to do? I had to eat the cost. I had to bear it. I had to replace it. When frost came, and they froze to death, I had to eat the cost. When drought came, I had to eat the cost of the loss. He says, when man came and stole it, I had to eat the loss. He said, when you changed my wages 10 times, God blessed me in every step of the way for 6 or 20 years. God blessed him. God blessed him. You know what he realized? He finally came to realization that everything that he had and was blessed with, God gave him. God blessed him. You know what's wrong with many of God's children? Is we think that it's us that's brought the blessing. You remember Jacob? All his life, even out of the womb, he grabs his brother's heel. And that's what he was like all his life. Stealing, deceiving, knowledge, wit. But here he comes to a place 20 years later and realizes that all that I have, all that I've been blessed with, no matter what the difficulty, I've been blessed solely by God alone. No matter what man does. He said, God's the one that does the blessing. Can I show you a piece of Scripture? If you want to turn to Luke chapter number 12 with me. Luke chapter number 12, I'm going to show you something in the Scriptures. The Bible says that the Lord daily loadeth us up with benefits. Do we see them? Do we know them? Do we declare them? Here's a man in Luke chapter number 12, in verse number 16, I want you to show you what his testimony was. This is the Lord telling him a parable about a man, a rich man. He said, he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. For he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? He said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns, build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Let me give you a verse in Matthew chapter number 5, verse 45. It says, for he maketh his own sun, S-U-N, to rise on the evil and on the good. And he sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. You know what that rain is? God's blessing. He sends God's blessing on the just and on the unjust. He says there that God is blessing not only the lost and the saved. And he says the sunrise. When you come back to this man in the 12th chapter, you know what he saw? He saw the ground. But he didn't see that God's the one that created it. He saw the blessing that was coming, but he didn't realize it was God gave the blessing. He spoke to himself and he spoke to his inward soul, but he never spoke to God. Had that settled. He never saw the blessing of his life was from God. That's what God was trying to teach in this parable. People need to get the soul right, but they need to realize that all blessings come from the Lord. Let me show you just another one there in Luke chapter number 12. Turn to Luke chapter number 10 with me. We look at physical blessings. But I want to tell you something greater than physical blessings. It's spiritual blessings. In Luke chapter number 10, I want you to read with me verse number 17, at least follow along. It said, "Then the 70 returned again with joy." This is his disciples saying, "Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name." I want you to listen to what the Lord said in verse number 20. "Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." There's physical blessing, all of that from the Lord. But I can tell you this, all that pales in comparison if your name is not written down in heaven. These disciples, these followers of the Lord, God had given them gifts. And they had had rule and reign over demonic spirits and healing. And they came back rejoicing. And the Lord said, notwithstanding, He said, "You need to rejoice that your names are written down in heaven." Every blessing, both physical and spiritual, is from the Lord. We need to see it. We need to know it. And realize it's all of God. Jacob came to that point in his life. All these blessings was from the Lord. Let me just say very quickly, is the God of Bethel is the God who keeps. He's not only the God that leads, He's not only the God that blesses, but He's the God that keeps us. You know, we're living in a fearful world. We even have sometimes threats in our schools of people that claim there may be a shooting. There was one 2 weeks ago, I believe, of a shooting in a high school. There's all times threats. There was a shooting right over here in Pensacola at the Naval Air Station. You know what we don't often forget, or we often forget, is that God is the one that keeps us. God's the one to protect us. Look, if you would, in the 29th verse. I've already read it there, of this 31st chapter. I want you to see what it says. This is what Laban says to Jacob. "It is in the power of my hand to do you hurt. But the God of your father spake unto me yesternight, saying, take thou heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad." You know, Laban, you know what he said? He said, "It's in my power, in my hands to hurt you." You know what he was saying? He thought, he said, "I have all the power. I could hurt you." And he probably could physically. At least what he thought he could. But he could not unless God allowed it. God knew his heart, what he wanted to do. But if God knew he was going to do what he was going to do, God would have killed him. Paul was in threat for his life one time. And God protected him and let him know. Esther there is a queen. Haman was out there to try to destroy the Jews. He didn't know that Esther was the queen. He didn't know that she was a Jew. Knew she was a queen, but not a Jew. But God orchestrated all those things to protect what? The Jews. When Daniel there was, the law was passed. You know what they were trying to do? Destroy Daniel. You know what the devil's trying to do? Destroy Daniel. Do you know what God did? Put him down in that lion's, allowed him to go down in that lion's den, and close the mouth of the lion. God kept him. God protected him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They wouldn't bow down. They were cast in that fiery furnace. And God walked among them. You know what God did? He kept them. Kept them. The Lord is the God that keeps us. He's the one that will protect us. But we need to say, "Lord, I've seen it in my life, and I know it in my life." I want to ask you a question, the same one I started with, statement I started with. Do you know the Lord? And do you know Him personally in your own life? You may be born again, but you don't know the Lord. He's not real to you. You talk about Him, you see Him through the lens of other people, through what you hear on radio or sermon, but you don't know Him for yourself. You don't know the God. We ought to know the God that leads us, that blesses us, that protects us and keeps us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. just a moment, we'll begin to play 300, The Savior is Waiting. I've been talking to a sermon to most people that know the Lord, about believers. But you may be here and you don't know the Lord as your Savior. You've never been born again. If you died at this moment, you're not sure you'd go to heaven. But you want to know. If you're here this morning and you say, Brother Sewell, I'm not sure if I'd go to heaven, but I want to know. I want to pray for you this morning. I want to pray for you. I won't embarrass you, but I do want to pray for you. You say, Brother Sewell, I want you to pray for me. I'm not sure of salvation. I want to be saved, but I'm not sure. Would you pray for me? If you'll raise your hand right where you are, I'll pray for you. I see that hand. Anybody else? Anybody else? Say, Brother Sewell, I'm not sure. All right, how about you as believers? We say we know the Lord. We say we know the Lord. But how much do we share what God is, we see His leading? We see His blessing. We see His protection. I'm not talking about past. I'm talking about present. We need to ask the Lord and say, God, I want You to be real in my life again. Maybe like You once were. I want You to be real for me today. Would you be willing to pray that? Say, Lord, I want to be real. I want You to be real for me today. Dear Lord, I pray that Your will would be done. I know that You put this message in my heart for my own life. I pray, dear Lord, You'd make this church, these people, Lord, a people with testimony about Your blessings, about the God that we serve, the God that loves us, the God that Jacob came to find and came to know. Lord, I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I want you to stand where you are. If you would keep your heads bowed, your eyes closed. This altar is open. If you want to come pray, you come pray. If you don't know the Lord as Savior and you want someone to take the Bible and show you how you know for sure, we can do that. If you've never been scripturally baptized, you want to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, we'll help you in that. Whatever it is, we'll help you. As He's playing, you come. Don't wait. You come. There are some people in the church, while your head's bowed, there are some people that they have a constant nagging doubt that they don't really know the Lord. Or they had an experience, but they're not sure. You need to get that settled. Savior's waiting to open the door. Why don't we let Him come in? Amen, amen. Chad, why don't you close the prayer right where you're at?